Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening in other devices and also later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. I hope that your morning on your side is as pretty as ours over here. I look at the sky. That's the only pleasant thing here in the city. Well, dear ones, this is our lesson 395. This is our review of chapter 78 entitled Calvary Part 4. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a Tiny Tot theme song entitled Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, and it's in the hymn number 569.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God be blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up here this morning. Please protect me. Please protect my mommy. Thank you, take the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sixth day, shall thy labor the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, little ones. Now we are going to hand it back to you all so you could share with us all the blessings you have been to your parents, family, or even your friends, also your neighborhood. May you unmute your mic to share your testimony, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings to everyone. For today's mommies and dads,
Daddy's little blessing. I'd like to highlight Emma. Emma is always so eager and willing to share everything that she has. Even though sometimes I tell her, especially like when in school, even though she would like to share because we don't know of others' allergies and stuff like that, we have to be a little bit careful. But every day it's like a new story of her sharing. And I pray that the sharing doesn't just stop here, but she may share all the good things that she learned in the Lord and continue to be little lights among the little hearts that she's able to encounter with each day. And that's all I'd like to share. Thank you.
I would like to share a little incident of a little helper among us. I believe it was when they found little Chrissy with the eyes. When did that last year? We have got a FaceTime. Little Jeremiah had called because Chrissy had fell and kind of hit and got a little knock. And little Jeremiah went to the refrigerator and put some ice on his little sister's forehead. I'm just so grateful that he was a little helper and trying to do his little hydrotherapy to help his sister. I just wanted to highlight that about Jeremiah and Chrissy. Is there anybody else that would like to share? Okay, we have some times also later in our program. It's story time for a review, and our dear brother will be the one to share.
All right. Good morning, boys and girls, and mamas and daddies and visitors. The Bible verse for our lesson is taken from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 13 to 17. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am, Jesus said. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Next slide. There was another cause of trouble. At the feast, it was the custom for a servant to wash the feet of the guests. And on this occasion, preparation had been made for the service. The pitcher of water, the basin, and the towel was there, ready for the feet washing. But no servant was present. And it was the disciples' part to perform it. But each of the disciples thought that he would not be a servant to his brethren. He was not willing to wash their feet. So in silence, they had taken their places at the table. Jesus waited a while to see what they would do. Then he himself arose from the table and girded himself with the towel. I guess he kind of hung it on the front of him. Poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. He had been grieved by their contention, but he did not reprove them by sharp words. He showed his love by acting as a servant to his own disciples. The King of the universe, can you imagine that? Washing your feet? What a memory they had to take away from that day. When he had finished, he said to them, next slide, please. Back up one. There you go. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He didn't just say, you folks need to wash each other's feet. He did it for them, so they would realize and see exactly what it was that they were to do. In this way, Christ taught them that they ought to help one another. Instead of seeking the highest place for himself, each should be willing to serve his brethren. The Savior came into the world to work for others. He lived to help and save those who are needy and sinful. He wants us to do as he did. The disciples were now ashamed of their jealousy and selfishness. Their hearts were filled with love for their Lord and for one another. Now they could give heed to Christ's teachings. This was taken from Story of Redemption, page 97, by Ellen White. The story of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. We will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled At the Passover Supper in our Tiny Talk lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place November 25th, 2023. I will hand it back to our dear brother for the reviews.
What were the disciples not willing to do for their brethren?
They were not willing to wash their feet.
They were not willing to wash the feet because they knew that that was a servant's job. And they didn't want to be a servant. They wanted to be the greatest. How did Jesus show his love for them?
Jesus showed his love by acting as a servant to his own disciples.
That's right. He showed his love for them by doing the service of a servant. It broke their hearts, caused them to love him more. What did the Savior live to do?
He lived to help and save those who are needily and sinful.
Yes, he lived to help others. And that's what we should do. He set us an example. And whenever we get a chance to help somebody else, we should do it. It'll make us feel good, and it'll make Jesus feel good. Thank you for participating.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother and little ones. It's time for Tiny Talks and parents to learn precious lessons in our review of creation and nature. This is our part 49 review of the water topic, and our dear brother will share.
What's up? Blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning water. The Water of Life Review. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 1, in lesson 13, healings. Verses 35 to 39 say, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. When they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Research, drawing power. Early in the morning, Peter and his companions came to Jesus, saying that already the people of Capernaum were seeking him. The disciples had been bitterly disappointed at the reception which Christ had met hitherto. The authorities of Jerusalem were seeking to murder him. Even his own townsmen had tried to take his life. At Capernaum, he was welcomed with joyful enthusiasm, and the hopes of the disciples kindled anew. It might be that among the liberty-loving Galileans were to be found the supporters of the new kingdom. But surprised to hear Christ's words, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." In the excitement which then pervaded Capernaum, there was danger that the object of his mission which would be lost to sight of. Jesus was not satisfied to attract attention to himself merely as a wonder worker or healer of physical diseases. He was seeking to draw men to him as their savior. While the people were eager to believe that he had come as a king to establish an earthly reign, he desired to turn their minds away from the earthly to the spiritual. Mere worldly success would interfere with his work. Desire of Ages, page 260. Draw in power. There is only one way to overcome sin. Jesus. Spend time each day studying his words, praying and obeying, and this will help you to have spiritual health. Christ desires to turn the mind away from the earthly to the heavenly. Here's a slide that talks about apples. Apple trees can bear fruit for as long as 100 years, but most of the apple trees ground in orchards are replaced every 40 to 50 years. Apple trees may grow more than 40 feet, 12 meters tall. They thrive in climates that have a cold winter. During the early 1800s, a pioneer apple planter named John Chapman distributed apple seeds and apple sprouts to settlers in Ohio. He became known as Johnny Appleseed. Read a book about him. This next slide is about beans. All beans are legumes and grow inside pods. The pods of some types are edible, such as the kind shown here, variously called green, snap, French, string bean, and snow pea pods from China. Plants with edible pods usually do not produce edible beans of good quality. Beans grow especially when intermingled with plantings of beets or carrots. Beans, not the pods, but the seeds inside them, are marketed dry. These must be soaked in water and then cooked, or pre-cooked and canned. They are high in protein and fiber. The bean grown inside the pod can remind us of a lesson. We cannot see the bean or truth growing and hidden away in the pod or brain. However, someday it may bear fruit. Health is a wonderful way to witness to those that are sick in the body, mind, and spirit. In this diagram here, beans are a member of the legume family. And here's the list of a few who are in the family. Lentils, peas, beans, peanuts, and soybeans. And below the pictures of the words are black beans, kidney beans, navy beans, and pinto beans. And more in the picture in those baskets below. Continue our reference reading for the water topic of our Tiny Talks lesson review, chapter 26, at Capernaum, part 3. Thus were spent the days in the earthly life of Jesus. He often dismissed his disciples to visit their homes and rest, but he gently resisted their efforts to draw him away from his labors. All day he toiled, teaching the ignorant, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, feeding the multitude, at the eventide or in the early morning, he went over to the sanctuary of the mountains for communion with his Father. Often he passed the entire night in prayer and meditation, returning at daybreak for to his work among the people. Saravages, page 259, paragraph 5. Early in the morning, Peter and his companions came to Jesus, saying that already the people of Capernaum were seeking him. The disciples had been bitterly disappointed at the reception which Christ had met hitherto. The authorities at Jerusalem were seeking to murder him. Even his own townsmen had tried to take his life, but at Capernaum he was welcomed with joyful enthusiasm, and the hopes of the disciples kindled anew. It might be that among the liberty-loving Galileans were to be found the supporters of the new kingdom. But with surprise they heard Christ's words, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." The excitement which then pervaded Capernaum, there was danger that the object of his mission would be lost sight of. Jesus was not satisfied to attract attention to himself merely as a wonder worker or a healer of physical diseases. He was seeking to draw men to him as their savior. While the people were eager to believe he had come as a king to establish an earthly reign, he desired to turn their minds away from the earthly to the spiritual. Mere worldly success would interfere with his work. Saravages, page 260, paragraph 2. And the wonder of the careless crowd jarred upon his spirit. In his life, no self-assertion remained. The homage which the world gives to position or wealth or talent was foreign to the Son of Man. None of the means that men employed to win allegiance or command homage did Jesus use. Centuries before his birth, it had been prophesied of him, "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a dimly burning flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth." Isaiah 42, 2-4, margin. Desire of Ages, page 260, paragraph 3. Here is the review. You can find the answers in the Bible and these verses. Question 1. When did Jesus arise to pray? Find the answer in Mark 1:35. 2. Who was seeking Jesus? What did they see? Would they ask Jesus? Find the answers in Mark 1. Verses 36 to 37. And 3. How did Jesus respond? Find the answer in Mark 1:38. Our 3 bonus questions. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Welcome to all the precious family that are just coming in and those that will be longing in also. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, Cover With His Life. And the hymnal, you can find it in number 412. If you would like to share the hymnal with us, dear ones, you can unmute your mic to do so. Look upon Jesus, sinless He, Father, impute His life unto me. My life was calling, my sin cover with His life, whiter than snow. Cover with His life, whiter than snow, fullness of His his love, then shall I know my life was calling, my sin over with his love, whiter than snow.
Deep are the wounds strength patient had made. Red are the stains my soul is afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with thee. Save from the law that now judgeth me. Cover with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet, my sin and woe. Cover with his life, whiter than snow.
Long in the joy of pardon to know, Jesus holds out a robe white as snow. Lord, I accept it, leaving my own. Gladly I wear thy pure life alone, covered with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet, my sin and woe. Cover with his life, whiter than snow.
Second shall by his death for my sin, justified by his life pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when returneth my Lord. Cover with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet, my sin and woe. Cover with his life, whiter than snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Silent blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. Please protect us. We will take the word now about to learn. We can do that, and even if not here, they can come back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our scripture for opening of the review is taken from Revelation 1, verse 5 through 6, also Revelation 4, 8, and 11. Margin from the Sunlight Sound Studio entitled Behold He Cometh.
Unto He
praise the Lord. And with that scripture song, just imagine they had God right with them. What have we learned in ways we have wrong, dear ones, before we hear the questions, the comments, or anything that you would like to share with the Dear Remnant family? We are going to go over last week's study, dear ones, from Calvary Part 4. Who would like to take the first paragraph? May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Continuing the Desire Pages, page 745, paragraph 3. The priest saw what they had done and asked Pilate to change the inscription. They said, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." But Pilate was angry with himself because of his former weakness, and he thoroughly despised the jealous and artful priests and rulers. He replied coldly, "What I have written, I have written." And again, this is taken from the Desire of Ages, page 745, paragraph 3. Amen.
A higher power than Pilate or the Jews had directed the placing of that inscription above the head of Jesus. In the providence of God, it was to awaken thought and investigation of the scriptures. The place where Christ was crucified was near to the city. Thousands of people from all lands were then at Jerusalem, and the inscription declaring Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, would come to their notice. It was a living truth, transcribed by a hand that God had guided. The Desire of Ages... The Desire of Ages, page 745, paragraph 4.
Have a blessing, my dear Karina. It's nice to hear your voice. It sounds so wonderful. May the Lord keep on blessing you, protecting you, and taking good care of you. This is my desire. Desire of Ages, page 745. In the sufferings of Christ upon the cross, prophecy was fulfilled. Centuries before the crucifixion, the Savior had foretold the treatment he was to receive. He said, "Dogs have compassed me. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Psalm 22, verses 16 to 18. Next slide, please. The prophecy concerning his garments was carried out without counsel or interference from the friends or the enemies of the crucified one. To the soldiers who had placed him upon the cross, his clothing was given. Christ heard the men's contention as they parted the garments among them. His tunic was woven throughout without seam, and they said, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be?" Desire of Ages, 746, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 746. In another prophecy, the Savior declared, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforter, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Psalm 69, verses 20 and 21. Next slide. Continuing. To those who suffered death by the cross, it was permitted to give a stupefying potion to deaden the sense of pain. This was offered to Jesus, but when he had tasted it, he refused it. He would receive nothing that could becloud his mind. His faith must keep fast hold upon God. This was his only strength. To becloud his senses would give Satan an advantage. Desire of Ages, 746, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 746. The enemies of Jesus vented their rage upon him as he hung upon the cross. Priests, rulers, and scribes joined with the mob in mocking the dying Savior. At the baptism and at the transfiguration, the voice of God had been heard, proclaiming Christ as his Son. Again, just before Christ's betrayal, the Father had spoken, witnessing to his divinity. But now the voice from heaven was silent. No testimony in Christ's favor was heard. Alone he suffered abuse and mockery from wicked men.
"If thou be the Son of God," they said, "come down from the cross. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God." In the wilderness of temptation, Satan had declared, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." If thou be the Son of God. Next slide, please. Continuing. "Cast thyself down from the pinnacle of the temple." Matthew 4, 3 through 6. And Satan with his angels in human form was present at the cross. The ark fine? I'm not quite sure what this is. Sorry about that in the background.
Archfiend?
Okay, thank you, Joshi. And his hosts were cooperating with the priests and rulers. The teachers of the people had stimulated the ignorant mob to pronounce judgment. Next slide, please. And I'll bubble down so that someone else can continue reading.
Continuing. "Against one upon whom many of them had never looked, until urged to bear testimony against him. Priests, rulers, Pharisees, and the hardened rabble were confederated together in a satanic frenzy. Religious rulers united with Satan and his angels. They were doing his bidding." Desire of Ages, page 746, paragraph 4.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brethren. Let us consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, memory verse song. "For sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that, dear ones, what have we learned in ways we have grown? Here we have held from last Sabbath our sixth question. If anyone is not able to see it in the screen, I will read it out that you may be able to also participate if you are moved to. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? Number six, what did you learn from this lesson? And if you are able to type it in the room, who would like, dear ones, to be able to take the first one?
The answer to number one, who is the main character or main characters, we see Jesus is the main character here. We also see the priest and rulers, and we saw Pilate, and they are the main characters here.
The answer to question two was the main idea for this section of our story. Everything at Jesus' crucifixion coming to pass, as the prophecy said.
The answer to number three, where did the story take place? The section of the story took place in Golgotha, which we also have come to know as Calvary. When the answer to number four, when did the story begin? This section of the story began when Jesus was taken from Pilate's judgment hall and was taken and was bearing the cross and was taken to Golgotha. This is when this section of the story began.
My answer to question five, how can you relate to the story? What I can relate to is all the references from the prophets and from all the readings from the Old Testament and about this event, Christ's crucifixion, were all coming true. Everything that they were told was happening that very moment. So, all that was part of his goal to help us from all the turmoil that would come in the future.
Does anybody would like to be able to share their answer to number five? You may unmute your mic, dear one.
For number six, I'm so sorry for the noise in the background. It sounds like leaf blowers are outside blowing leaves. I do apologize if you're hearing that. What did you learn from this lesson? There was something that stood out to me, not just from this part of the lesson, but from the last part also, how sometimes someone could know the truth, as we saw with how Caiaphas had said the prophecy of what was to happen, but could just be a vessel, and that they may not indeed follow the truth that they are sharing. And it was just, we continue to see just how blinded people are, and though that they may have the gift, if they're not using the gift in the way that the Lord intended, it is of nothing. And that is what stood out to me and what I learned from this particular section of the lesson.
Amen. I know one thing that stood out is that when Christ was hanging on the cross, he heard the soldiers arguing over his garments and casting the dice or casting lots. for his vesture. And that brought back to Christ's memory the prophecies dealing with that very event taking place. So any chance of doubt that may have tempted Christ that he wasn't the Messiah or that, you know, it was all for naught. Seeing prophecy fulfilled encouraged him. It gave him the extra assurance that he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do by dying on that cross. So then any temptations that the devil would bring to him saying, you know, save yourself or, you know, all those temptations that would ruin the plan of salvation had no effect on Christ because he could see prophecy being fulfilled in what was taking place. And that gave him all that extra courage to continue forward, the assurance that God was indeed in control. And so that comes down to our day as we may be going through persecution or trials or tribulations. We can look around us and see prophecy being fulfilled. The devil is as a roaring lion trying to devour us. We can see that prophecy being fulfilled in what we're going through. And so instead of giving in to discouragement, instead of giving up, that should give us courage to continue on, relying more fully upon God's grace and strength and comfort of his Spirit to endure, to hold fast and not lose faith.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sorry, you could go ahead, dear one.
I was going to, so like all these years, I didn't really think about like when they were giving him the vinegar as he was hanging on the cross. And I have a question about that. So like, was that another like a form of like torture or like, to make it even more uncomfortable for Jesus on the cross as they were giving him that? Cause I always thought it was something that was symbolic, but I'm not quite sure. And I didn't think about it until just now when I saw the pictures in the slide. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. It was not only to numb, but if you remember, if you in the past had cleaned anything that is bleeding, they usually use vinegar and they can use other things to be able to let the blood kind of stop. But don't forget that he had to fulfill that his blood spilling for us was a not only cleansing for us, but was a symbol of the power of cleansing us from all sin. He could not do anything that would interfere with what the fulfillment of the prophecy was talking about, because his blood was one of the main objects of having it to remove all sin from the sinner. So everything that was supposed to be written of him, he had to fulfill. I want to piggyback on what Elder Rob was talking about. If you notice, while Jesus was on the cross and prophecy was fulfilling, everybody had a part. But it doesn't matter what was happening, the fulfillment of the word of God was never ceasing. It's the same thing like today. We see so many things then that are happening. It doesn't matter where it is, who, what country, what is really involved. What we see is the prophecy, and it's the prophecy that we have to be able to guide ourselves. A lot of people become fearful. A lot of people are confused, but it also is a vessel to bring us back to go back and see what thus said the Lord says, in what way we are supposed to stand in these days. So as the prophecy continue to fulfill in our days, even in Christ's days, we also see what the Lord was intended for us. No one need to be confused or in any kind of uncertainty, because the same thing that happened with him in that time, Christ was physically crucified, but now his children and the message that is so unpopular is being crucified, is being rejected, is being scoffed. But we have to continue to give this message, no matter how hard it may be, just focusing on the same example that our Savior had. He just was trying to fulfill his mission. And we as well need to fulfill our mission by all costs. This is what I wanted to share. And if there's anybody else, dear one, you can be able to share before we continue. Okay, we are going to continue, dear ones. We have a thought to share, poem, and also special music. And our thought is taken from a devotional book entitled With God at Dawn, pages 311, paragraph 1 through 4, entitled The Chasten Whom He Loved. This series is entitled He Will Chasten in Love, with the same devotional, page 311. And the opening of the scripture is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 6, King James, and it reads, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son who he receiveth. And also, this particular quote, you could find it in chapter 45, written from heaven in the book, The Acts and the Apostle. If anyone would like to continue to pick up the first one of the paragraph, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
The Lord can bring victory out of that which may seem worth discomfiture and defeat. We are in danger of forgetting God, of looking at the things which are seen instead of beholding by the eye of faith the things which are unseen. When misfortune or calamity comes, we are ready to charge God with neglect or cruelty. If he sees fit to cut off our usefulness in some line, we moan, not stopping to think that thus God may be working for our good. We need to learn that chastisement is a part of his great plan, and that under the rod of affliction, the Christian may sometimes do more for the master than when engaged in active service.
The work of gaining salvation is one of co-partnership, a joint operation. There is to be cooperation between God and the repentant sinner. This is necessary for the formation of right principles in the character. Continuing, man is to make earnest efforts to overcome that which hinders him from attaining to perfection. But he is wholly dependent upon God for success. Human effort of itself is not sufficient. Without the aid of divine power, it avails nothing. God works and man works. Resistance of temptation must come from man. who must draw his power from God. On the one side, there is infinite wisdom, compassion, and power on the earth, other. On the other, weakness, sinfulness, and absolute helplessness. Acts of the Apostles, page 482, paragraph 2.
God wishes us to have the mastery over ourselves, but he cannot help us without our consent and cooperation. The divine spirit works through the powers and faculties given to man. Of ourselves, we are not able to bring the purposes and desires and inclinations into harmony with the will of God. But if we are willing to be made willing, the Savior will accomplish this for us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Acts of the Apostles, page 482, paragraph 3.
He who would build up a strong, symmetrical character, he who would be a well-balanced Christian must give all and do all for Christ, for the Redeemer will not accept divided service. Daily he must learn the meaning of self-surrender. He must study the Word of God, learning its meaning and obeying its precepts. Thus he may reach the standard of Christian excellence. Day by day, God works with him, perfecting the character that is to stand in a time of final test. And day by day, the believer is working out before men and angels a sublime experiment, showing what the gospel can do for fallen human beings. Acts of the Apostles, page 183, paragraph 1.
These trials of life are God's workmen. To remove the impurities and roughness from our character. They're hewing, squaring, and chiseling. They're burnishing and polishing. It's a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel, but the stone is brought forth, prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace.
But when tribulation comes upon us, how many of us are like Jacob? We think it the hand of an enemy, and in the darkness we wrestle blindly until our strength is spent, and we find no comfort or deliverance. To Jacob, the divine touch at break of day revealed the one with whom he had been contending, the angel of the covenant, and, weeping and helpless, he fell upon the breast of infinite love to receive the blessing for which his soul longed. We also need to learn that trials mean benefit, and not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of him.
I just wanted to share, dear ones, for those that are not able to see the screen, the two paragraph that was read is taken from chapter 2, the Beatitude, in Thoughts from the Heaven, in Thoughts from the Mountain of Blessings, sorry. And our dear sister was about to share. Sorry, was someone wanted to say something? If not, we are going to continue. The title of the poem is called Jesus Christ Came into the World to Save Sinners. This is taken from Children Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 2, Lesson 11, page 292 from the Sunlight Education Ministry Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Number one. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Lo, at noon, 'tis sudden night. Darkness covers all the day. Rocks are rending at the sight. Children, can you tell me why? What can all these wonders be? Jesus died at Calvary.
Number two. Stretched upon the cross, behold how his tender limbs are torn. For a royal crown of gold, they have made him one of thorn. Cruel hands that dare to bind, thorns upon a brow so kind.
See, the blood is falling fast from his forehead and his side. Listen, he has breathed his last. With a mighty groan he died. Children, shall I tell you why Jesus consents to die?
He who was the king above left his kingdom for a grave, out of pity and of love, that the guilty he might save. Down to this sad world he flew for such little ones as you.
Five. You were wretched, weak, and vile. You deserved his own holy frown, but he saw you with a smile, and to save you hastened down. Listen, children, this is why Jesus condescends to die.
Number six. Come then, children, come and see. Lift your little hands to pray. Bless Jesus, pardon me. Help a guilty infant say, since it was for such as I, thou didst consent to die.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our special music is taken from the scriptures, scriptures sing a song in the section character building. This is from Proverbs chapter 3 verses 11 to 12, King James margin.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Verse 11 and 12 of Proverbs 3. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone that would like to share their testimony? You may came to do so, dear ones. Otherwise, dear one, we can continue in any one of the services to share. We have come to the end of our family review section. Next week, we will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled Calvary in our study book, The Desired Ages. If anyone would like to have closing prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy name. Father, we thank you for your blessed Sabbath day, and we thank you for all the lessons that you have given us today. We thank you also for the little ones and their participation, their parents that continuously guide them. Thank you, Father Jesus, for all the light that you have shed upon us today and taking us through this heavy theme of Calvary, Father. Strengthen us as we go to the next section of our lessons. May you bless the speaker. Continue to shine upon us the bright lights of heaven, Father. Uplift us into higher ground and help our mind to be stayed on you at this time. Thank you again for all your blessing in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will be sharing lesson 396, chapter 78, entitled Calvary, but this will be a part 5, and that will be held, dear ones, November 25th, 2023. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath and hearing more about dear sister Amy's beautiful garden. These are two type of bromelia. One is bromelia roja and the other one is another type of bromelia. And may you all have a wonderful nature walk or nature experience. May God bless each and every one. Have a beautiful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless. No, because it's not because I don't want to read. It's 1:38. I don't want to go over.